May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, I have to admit, when I heard the words of the anthem today, I thought to myself, well, you know, really, I really do not have to have a sermon, because it kind of follows along the theme that I followed along. So I was going to say, well, if you want, I cannot preach, and we'll just, you have to promise to listen to the anthem. What I like about this column is it's kind of like a pep talk for the disciples. It tells about the pep talk that we hear in the Gospels, really what it is. It's a confirmation that as human beings, as sons and daughters of God, there is only one Messiah, and that's Jesus Christ. And we are to listen to him. And then God confirms that, as we know, in the gospel. And then it goes on to more and more. Once, when we are face-to-face with Christ, when we are face-to-face with God Almighty, filled by the power of the Holy Spirit, change and strength happens. It's just a given. That's what happens. And then in 2 Corinthians, it's kind of a metaphor, but I like what St. Paul teaches us. He talks about the veil, and basically it's a metaphor when their minds and their hearts were hardened. Well, it's telling that they really didn't want to take the time in those days, and it almost sounds like still, they didn't want to take the time to listen to Christ. They didn't want to take the time to really hear what Christ was telling them. They didn't want to listen. They didn't want to take the time. They didn't care. They thought only of the present need that they had for themselves, what they wanted today, what they wanted right now. They didn't think any further. So in a way, St. Paul is telling us those who are veiled are those who are kind of stubborn, hard-hearted. Their hearts are really hardened. They don't care. They're self-centered. They're selfish. They're in life for themselves, what they can get, when and where they want it. And then towards the end of it says, all of us, which means us too, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror. So that's good, because that means we reflect God's glory in our lives. We are being transformed by the same image. And that's what the gospel is about. Transformation, the transfiguration. From the Lord, from the Holy Spirit, if we say we believe, if we listen and try our best, no, we're not going to be perfect, but we try our best, we are changed. We are unveiled because we are not hardened of heart. We are not veiled because we're willing to be vulnerable, to listen, to improve, and to love, and also to know that we need God's forgiveness. We need God's mercy. And so we don't lose heart. If we had to bear all of the things we did wrong through our life and never would confess it and never would meet Jesus and allow his absolution to happen, we would be just overwhelmed with grief. So we need God's mercy. And with that, and with his forgiveness, that makes us strong. That makes us encouraged. That makes us changed enough so that we can go forward, so that we can love and share Christ with others. With this gospel, I could go on for hours, I have to admit, but I won't. Basically what this is Jesus brought them with him. They were exhausted, but they stayed a week, and they encountered God. They met God. When that happened, they were changed. The strength that they got from that, the assurance, the awareness, it was life-altering for those men and for all of us, because we learned about it from them. But what they didn't know at first, and that's okay, and which shows us we don't have to know everything either, is that at first Peter says, oh, well, we'll build these three booths, you know, one for Moses, one for Elijah, one for you. And Moses represented the law. Elijah represented all the prophets in the Old Testament. And then, you know, he didn't realize, although part of him did realize, that Jesus was the Messiah. And then what happens? A cloud comes, and God figures, all right, I'm going to try to make this as clear as I can. When the cloud went away after Peter and James and John heard this, that was the confirmation of Christ as the Messiah. God said, this is my son. This is my chosen. Listen to him. It doesn't mean that the law isn't good, doesn't mean that the prophets weren't good, but we are to focus and center all of our being, all of our lives on Christ. After we've been transformed like these men, after we see Jesus, we're not supposed to stop there. We're supposed to go from there and go out, be changed inside. Being transformed, what does that mean? What does that mean? Think about it. Being transformed. Suddenly we're safe. Anybody ever feel unsafe or insecure? I do almost every time I get up here. But when we're transformed by Christ, we're safe. We're nurtured. We're loved as no one else can love us. We're cared for. We are listened to. And we are taught. We are accepted for who we are, all of our good points and bad points. And we are forgiven. And we're hugged, really hugged, totally surrounded by the freedom of Christ, by the joy of Christ, and by his peace. We really can't be loved any more by anyone than by Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And if we want to bring it to maybe like a nowadays thing, that feeling of change and invigoration and excitement and love and happiness and joy, can you think of an example? How about a spa day? Is anybody, I have not, but have you ever had a spa day where you're massaged and, oh, I'll get to the men stuff in a minute, nails, toes, all that. You know, you feel really invigorated, I'm thinking. For guys, did you ever have a perfect day on the golf course with the weather and the food and you're hitting the ball into the hole, having a hole in one? What an invigorating thought for them. How about those who love basketball or going to a baseball game with hot dogs and soda and popcorn? Or how about today? Anybody preparing for today's Super Bowl game? I'm wondering if that might be where a few people are. Maybe they're cooking. It's a shame because it could have waited. But all of those days give us an excitement. Well, Jesus gives us more of an excitement. His gift of love, his gift of transformation is a special, special gift. And one last thought. With that special gift, it's not a selfish gift. It's just not for me to feel, oh, I feel so much better now that I've been to church. That's not where it ends. It's a gift of self-giving. It's a gift of me and all of us being patient with one another, loving one another, you know, doing all that Christ does for us, we do for others. We are to be changed, go forward with God's love, and then help to show God's glory. You know, have smiles on our faces, have love in our hearts, be excited and genuine and caring. We are to be Christ to all others we meet. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we just ask that, and we know that you are in our midst. We know and can feel the presence of your Holy Spirit in this room, in each and every one of us. We ask that you help that feel of safety, of love, acceptance, forgiveness, and mercy, and joy to just overwhelm our bodies so much that all we can do is have the excitement to share that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.